Let the Lord remove any fear this morning. Don't be fearful of anything. This Christ that we're celebrating says, I'll be with you forever. And it was really on my heart today to share with you is that, Jesus, I'm going to go prepare a place for you. If I prepare a place for you, I will come back and receive you. That way, where I'll be at, you'll be also. You know, it's just a transfer of our spirit and soul. It's a transference to a place called heaven that can get us down. But I'm telling you what, God's eyes is upon His children. He sees you, and He already got your number of days numbered as we follow Him. Think of that. Wow. You know, sure, most of us here are getting more matured, right? And getting mature, you know. You're going to hear that trumpet sound, and we're going to transfer our citizenship from here into heaven. And what kind of reminds me of when we moved from Plainfield Main Street to where we're at today 21 years ago. We were preparing to move before we moved. It wasn't one day move. It was quite some time. And you realize that when we moved from Plainfield, we lived there 17 years. And down in our basement, we had 3 sets of used washers and dryers. I'll guarantee you, we had moved, there'd be 12 sets of washers and dryers down there, you know. And, but when we moved, we no longer needed those washers or dryers. They weren't coming with us. Why would I move something that's useless? Amen? We're the same way. As we prepare to leave this world to go be with Him forever, our body might start shutting down a little bit. Our bodies, aches and pains. Anybody got aches and pains and stuff like that? Okay. Well, I think one thing awesome about that, it just reminds us that this place ain't our home. Amen? That we're going to a place someday. There's no sickness, no disease, no death, no dying. Going to wipe away every tear. Wow. And that's what we're celebrating today. That's what we're looking at. We look at it every day as Christians. That's what we're reminding ourselves, man. That this place ain't my home because of Jesus. He's prepared a place for us. And that's where our hope's at. Amen? That's what we're celebrating today. So I asked Brother Bob to help us today. We're going to do the Advent Reef first today instead of last. Because I know last week I never got it done. The poinsettia. We're going to move the poinsettia back just a hair because we're not too sure if it's fire retardant or not. And we don't want
to. Oh, I'll try not to.
Yeah, well, no. Oh, we're going to put you on fire patrol, Bob. Okay? Yeah. But the last one will be the pink one, okay? That's for love, okay? But if we look at the Advent wreath today, we look at the first week we were celebrating, we talked about the hope that we have in Jesus. And that's a promise, that's a blessed hope, you know. When I say He'll come and receive us someday, that's not a maybe. That's a promise you and I can live with every day. It could be tomorrow, it could be the next day. You know, we're all waiting for that trumpet to sound, but if my own personal trumpet will sound before then, I know He'll be there to receive me. And because it brings a peace in my life. I don't have to be governed by the things of this world. I don't have to compromise things in this world because I'm reconciled with the Father. And then with that, it brings me a joy in my heart. How can you be joyful all the stuff going on in your life? Because I get Jesus. Yeah, I got Christ. I'm not hanging on to my house forever. I'm not hanging on to this temple forever, this physical temple. No, these are just things I'm occupying. Why I'm here on earth, why I'm telling people about the Lord, why I'm serving Him. You know, my house, my Cub Cadet riding mower ain't going to make it to heaven when I go. You know what I'm saying? I am going to hide the keys, though, when we come back after the rapture. 7 years later, I'm going to have that baby driving around again, okay? But what I'm going to take with me is the love I have for Jesus, the love He has for me. And then the last candle we light today, the pink one, talks about the love that Jesus has for us, love. And we look at the peace, the joy, love. Does that sound familiar? You ever hear anything about the fruit of the Spirit? Isn't that awesome? That comes in us. That lives in us. How do we get more peace, more joy, more love? By hearing that word of God and to know how much He loves us and cares for us. There we go. But God wants to show His love to us. And want to come to rescue us. And that's all happened about 2,000 years ago. If you want to turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, we're going to share the well-known Christmas event that took place. As you're turning in, just remember that God wanted to come on earth here. He had to come in physical form. He had to come in as a man. And He needed someone to volunteer to carry Jesus. Look at that. I don't know what the population of the world was right then. But in order for God to do what He wanted to do, He had to come in physical form. Why? Because He gave mankind dominion. You all remember that. He gave mankind dominion. So in order for God to come back down on this earth and take care of things, help things, redeem us from our sins, He had to do it in physical form. And I know we think, well, He's God, He can do anything. But one thing God would never do is go back on His word. That's why it's so awesome. When you read a promise in the scriptures, it never changed. It never, ever changed. And so it was the same thing when He said, I'll give mankind dominion. And then what did we do in the garden? We turned it over to Satan by sinning. But Jesus came to redeem us. But in order for Him to do this, to do what He wanted to do, He had to find somebody that would say, yes, I'll carry Jesus with me. And folks, 2,000 years later, He's still saying the same thing. I need someone who's going to carry Jesus with me. To say, yes, I'll carry Him. Because that light that came into the world 2,000 years ago, it is still shining today, and it needs others to help shine it into the world. And Mary, I mean, we believe, you know, Mary is a daughter of a priest, so we knew that she would know the scriptures, that she would, you know, we always say, well, they're probably sitting around that nighttime, the glee clubs or the cheerleaders, or however you want to put it, saying, oh, might be me, you know, because we know He's going to be born of a virgin. It might be me. You know, it might have gave them more resistance to falling into the temptations. Like, no, I'm saving myself for Jesus. You know, He'll pick me to bring Him into the world. I don't know. But Mary found herself preserved. She's a virgin. And all the harassment maybe she might have received during that time, maybe other ones, I don't know. But it paid off. And we start here in Luke chapter 2. It says, now it came about in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. And this was the first census taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all were proceeding to register for the census, everyone to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. And it came about that while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And in the same region there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over the flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. And the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which shall be for all the people. For today in the city of David there have been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom He is pleased. And boy, when we read that, and when we look at what we call the Christmas story, the Christmas event, I mean, it really brings a peace over us. And we look back over the years that we've celebrated Christmas, we look at all the stuff maybe done at families and stuff. But we got to look at it, I believe at this time, a more strengthening way, more understanding of the love that He has for us. And He showed that love. I mean, right now, this time of year, we you know, again, it's kind of, we get kind of mushy maybe. Maybe, I don't know. I'm trying to find the right word to say. But we cannot allow our spirit to be weakened. We cannot allow ourselves to get to the point where, I know, the world needs Jesus, but for the next couple of weeks, I'm going to keep it kind of quiet, you know? Because I don't want confrontation when I say Jesus is the reason for the season, whatever it is. But folks, it has to be the opposite. Now, we got to know that we are at the finish line, that we're coming into the end of this church age. We're coming to the point where the church is going to be removed before long to the rapture, okay? That your vocal cords are going to work so many more times before you hear that trumpet sound, you know? Your gathering with loved ones or friends or family or even your neighbor that you're shooting with is going to be very, very short because he's coming very, very soon. So we can't allow this time of season to weaken us and say, well, I'll just take a couple of weeks off and then maybe the first of the year. No, we can't do that. Because I believe the same way. And I said earlier that how the rainbow was weakened, you know, the sign from God. Well, this here, when we chose back in 325 A.D., which means, A.D. means what? No, it means the year of our Lord. Amen. I set you guys up for that one. I thought the same thing, but it means the year of our Lord, what it means, okay? So that's, today is still, it's 2021, the year of our Lord. Because that's our calendar. We listened to that last night. The calendar started because of Jesus. It stopped there when he was born. And the new one started A.D. It's Latin. That's what it stands for. So, but yeah, I had to set you up for that, brother. But that way you go home and you realize, hey, that's why they said the year of our Lord. Remember back in the 60s? You get a document and it would say the year of our Lord. And you go, wow. So, but we take that out now, right? We don't remember that as the year of our Lord. Huh? Yes, yeah, I remember that my wife told me about it. But here we are, this point, so close to the finish line, that we need to be encouraged. And say, okay, Lord, just as Mary agreed to take Jesus into this world, and we know what she went through. We can imagine some of the talk about her, that she's pregnant with child, and at that time, she wasn't married yet. Okay? And all the stuff she agreed to. And some of the trials that she went through. But it was all worth it. Because here we are 2,000 years later. Man, talking about Jesus, receiving Jesus Christ. She had to think of others more than herself, right? Man, we're the Savior of your people. Okay, but how about me? You know, how about what I'm going to go through? But her fixture had to be on God, had to be on the Lord. She knew the scriptures. I believe she studied the scriptures because her daddy being a priest. And she was prepared for what's going to come her way. No matter if people turn on her right away, we see her boyfriend was going to get rid of her, right? She was engaged to be married. And when you find out she was a child, okay, I'm going to put her away. Politely, quietly, he cared for her. I mean, he could have had her stoned to death. But no, the angel of the Lord came to him, spoke to him, and he agreed. And so we just read then what happened. But all the agreement, while deciding to follow Jesus, deciding to let God do in their life what he wanted to, we see this child was born. Jesus Christ came into the world to save us. But he would live 33 and a half years before he'd be crucified for our sins. Amen? And what I found, I thought, look what he went through himself. You know, in the book of Luke, chapter 4, my, leading out there. Okay. this is Jesus now. He's stepping to his ministry. And it says in chapter 4, verse 16, "And when Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and was his custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. And the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. And he opened the book and found the place where it was written." Verse 18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind. And he set free those..." "And recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord." And then he closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all the synagogue were fixed on him. And then he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Wow. What really sticks out to me here in Luke is in verse 17. "And the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him, and he opened the book and found the place where..." He found the place. He got the book, he opened it up. Okay, let me find this here. So that means that he knew the book of Isaiah. Okay, I mean, he's been there before. So he wants to go to a particular place and declare to them, "Hey, listen, this thing is true. I'm fulfilling the scriptures." Okay, so he knew what Isaiah has written. He knew when he fasted and prayed. Remember when he first started the ministry and Satan came to him? What did Jesus do? He said, "It is written." So he knew the scriptures. When he was 12 years old, remember that Mary and Joseph was in town with them, and they left to go home. And of course, when they traveled, maybe like 50 or 60 of them there. Okay, it wasn't just like Mary and Joseph holding Jesus' hand. Jesus stayed behind. He was in the temple. He was teaching. He knew the scriptures. Wow. He knew the scriptures. When you look at Isaiah 61:1. Isaiah 61:1. Isaiah says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners, and to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn." And that's the document in Isaiah 61. That he read that. But today we look at the love that God has for us. We look at the love that he shows to us. And we had the master standing in the synagogue, a little over 30 years old, working in his ministry. We know that he will live to be 33 and a half years old when he is crucified. Back up to Isaiah 53. I just want to show you love. Not a long message today, but it's a message that may have encouraged each one of us. When at times you think, "Does anybody truly love me anymore?" Maybe some of his love is never showed to us. Maybe people's turned their backs on you. Maybe people walk away from you. Maybe people won't forgive you. And you said earlier, Jesus is here. Your praise him this morning, your worship of him, means so much to him. It means so much to Yahweh, the Father in heaven. Because it's because of the sacrifice of his Son that we're able to lift up our voices, he can hear us. Amen? Wow, that's like saying, "Good job." That's like when somebody gets up here and brags about your constitutional rights or your Bill of Rights, okay? Man, look at the freedoms we have. Every veteran in this place can say yes. That every veteran say, well, you're welcome. Because every veteran has protected those things. Yes, you're welcome. They may not say it out loud, but inside them they're like, yes. Yeah, they appreciate that. And as we worship God through the Son Jesus, it shows our appreciation for God's love for us and the love that Christ has for us. Amen? Think of that. There is somebody that loves you beyond measure. But in Isaiah 53:4, the prophet says, surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening of our well-being fell upon him. And by his scourging, or by his stripes, we are healed. Now, Jesus knows the scriptures, right? We just saw where he quoted Isaiah in the synagogue. So from the time he was a small boy to the time he hung on the cross, he knew what was going to happen. He knew these scriptures were talking about him. He knew that he was going to be crucified. He knew, man, all the stuff he was going to go through. Think of that. For 33 and a half years, you ever take a couple years as being a youngster to grow up to read the scriptures, he knew what he was going to do. He knew what it was going to cost him to do. Think of that. Can you imagine yourself knowing that 33 and a half years from now, that somebody's going to grab you and nail you on the cross, you're going to pluck out your beard? I mean, this is a gift we're celebrating. Think of that. How many could go and do that? Now, I share on Friday night a couple of things myself. Just what I got involved with. And one time it was a lady, I think I shared before, she was screaming. She was screaming on North 3rd Street. People called in the office about 3 in the morning. You got a woman screaming. So me and two of my partners ran out the alley and we're running towards this house. This lady's screaming, wow, wow. And I kicked the door in. And I'll go in. And there she is on the couch. She's giving birth to a baby. Well, one guy with me passed out. He'd never seen something like that before. The other one had to sit down. But fortunately, we had 3 children, and I went to Lamaze classes, you know, and I was able to help deliver that child. Amen? Awesome. Had another ordeal. I had quite a few of them. I'll just tell two. Going down the road, there was an accident in front of me. A car flipped over. 4 people inside. It caught on fire. And praise God, I was able to get over there with the fire extinguisher, get the fire out, and get them out. Amen? But see, I had 30 seconds to react. I had 30 seconds to decide I'm going to kick that door in, or maybe 30 seconds I'll grab that fire extinguisher and run up there and jump in the car and put the fire out. But what? How would I respond if 33 and a half years earlier, there was some night on patrol, going to be a car catching on fire, and you're going to run up to it, you're going to jump inside of a fire extinguisher and put it out and get 4 people out of it. Would I react that way at night? You know, in my head, would I say, wait a second, I love people, but I got 3 kids at home, I got a wife, I got support, you know, I got rent to do, and, you know, I mean, I love helping people, but I got to think about myself for a moment. Would that go through my, would that change how I reacted? You know, we'll never know. Amen? But I'm trying to show you what had been gone through Jesus. He was human. Understand that. He's a mom and his daddy's gone. I'm not sure what happened to Joseph. I've never found any record what happened to him. I believe Joseph was removed from Jesus' life because I don't think a father could stand by and watch his son to be manhandled that way. I mean, that's just my opinion. I mean, yeah. Yeah. So he's thinking about mama. He's a carpenter. He's helping with mom. Right? But he knows what it says here, that he came to die for your sins and my sins. And he continued on his life preaching, going to the cross. Is that love? Is that love? That's what we're celebrating now. This sacrifice on the cross had to start in human form. It had to come as a baby. He had to enter here through the door. And he did, knowing what sacrifice he came for. Oh, wow. And he never gave up. Now, we see in the garden, Gethsemane, where he's on his knees, and he's like, Father, how does this cup pass from me? I mean, he was getting that close to the time of his crucifixion. I know you think, well, this is Christmas. You're talking about Easter? Hey, without Christmas, it wouldn't be an Easter, right? And so we got to recognize the completion of a gift. You ever receive a gift, you're not quite sure what it's for? Amen? Somebody got to explain, hey, thank you, son. What is it? And once he tells you what it is, it makes more sense, right? But when we celebrate the birth of Jesus, the greatest gift given to mankind, if we don't look how that gift fulfills itself, then we're not going to understand truly the love that God has for us. And that's what he's showing. That he, up to the cross, 24 hours before he was crucified, he's thinking, oh man, I come this far. God, can you let the cup pass from me? He's feeling the weight of the sins of the world on him. He's feeling the grief, all the emotion that we'd think we'd have. But finally, man, he's just saying, but Father, not my will be done, but your will be done. Otherwise, this is the purpose I'm here. That he recognized, clear back from the foundation of the world, he knew that he'd be coming this day, that day to sacrifice himself on the cross. He knew it. And sometimes it's easier to know something's 30 years later, or in his case, 6,000 years later. It's easier to think about, well, that's 2 months away. Okay, that's 2 months away. But boy, when you get the night before, you ever get married? Okay. Oh, wow, we can't wait. But the night before, okay. Marty, you could look at Chuck that way, okay? But the night before, okay, you get these jitters and stuff, you know, like, okay, really, I mean, do I really want to get married? I want to turn to my bachelor life, or I don't know what you call ladies, bachelorettes? Whatever. But boy, you know in your heart this is the right thing. You just got jitters. Amen? And that's what the master was doing in the garden. Okay, I know this is right, but God, your will be done, not mine. And so if we step up 2,000 years later, here we are today. And this gift that God sent into the world, that Mary agreed to carry, he offers to each one of us today. Will you carry Jesus? Will you bring Jesus into the world, into your world? Will you bring Jesus into your relationships? Will you allow Jesus to live through you? Will you not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus? Will you not be ashamed to stand up for what the Word of God says? Because there's a world out there that's dying, that needs Jesus, that needs to know His love, His hope, His peace, and His joy. He's saying, will you carry this gift? Or will you take this gift and, as the scriptures say, hide it under a bushel? Or will you let the light of Christ shine through you? And this Christmas, that's what he's reminding us. This is a type of gift that you give, that you get, that you want to give it away. Amen? I mean, we all have gifts we want to get rid of, right? I mean, go to the department store the day after Christmas. There are long lines, you know, of exchanges. But this is a gift that once you receive it, thank you. What do you want to do with it? I want you to give it away. Give it away? But give it to other people. Re-gift. Thank you. That's the awesome thing. Re-gift it. So may you be encouraged this Christmas. May you be encouraged that the gift that God gave us through the Son, Jesus, the gift of eternal life, the forgiveness of our sins, may this spark in you a new desire. Yes! I'm going to live for Jesus. I'm not going to let this world take away what God's given me. But then I'm going to share that with others. Because will we be here next Christmas? I don't know. I'm telling you, these signs, I mean, wow. Wow, I just... not one of those guaranteed tomorrow. Amen? So, don't be afraid about tomorrow. But that takes away the fear of living for Jesus today. You think, well, how can I tell Susan about Jesus today? And Wednesday, I'm going to see her in the coffee room while I'm working. I might not be there. Christ might be back already. But I ain't going to worry about it. And if you are there, I'll tell you again about Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Just allow him to live through. Don't be ashamed of him. Be like Mary was pregnant. Everybody can see that she was carrying a child. And people say, wow, you pregnant? No, I just love Jesus. Never mind. But again, as I finished reading what love is. It says that Jesus shows us His perfect love. He is God's love in human form. The Bible says that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. And may we remember what true love is. It's love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy. Love is never boastful or conceited, rude or selfish. Love is not quick to take offense. It keeps no records of wrong. It does not gloat over other people's troubles, but rejoices in the right, the good, and the true. There is nothing that love cannot face. There is no limit to its faith, to its hope, to its endurance, and love never fails. We lit that candle today to remind us of God's love. And He loves and cares for you very much. Amen? Amen. I pray as you go out this week, you go with the confidence that Christ is with you, because that He lives within you, that He guides you, and that He's coming back for you. Amen? It's kind of like a great gathering. He wants to be a crowded hallway, you know? And we get that by sharing the gospel more and more for people. You know, through the stripes on His back, He brings healing to your body. Through His blood, He brought a new covenant, a new everlasting covenant. So may you find your hope lying in that. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Well, may the good Lord bless you and keep you. May He cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may He turn His face towards you and give you peace. And may you walk in that peace, not just today, but throughout your walk upon this earth, as we bring Him glory. In Jesus' name, amen.